of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In this past year and a half or so, there's been this string of uncanny coincidences that our MIM meeting almost always seems to fall on some Franciscan feast, or if not, then on some Marian feast. And today we find that that pattern is not broken. At some point, I'm sure it will be. But today we have the joy of having our meeting on the feast, on the solemnity of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe. I hope that he doesn't need an introduction in this group here. He's a saint who is very dear to us. You might even say that he's the reason why we're all gathered here together today, because each one of us has heard a particular calling, shall we say, of God speaking to our hearts, inspiring us to listen to the sublime doctrine of this great apostle of devotion to Our Lady, inspiring us to follow his example of imitating Christ in life and in death, even to the point of giving ourselves totally for the sake of the gospel. St. Maximilian is a saint who has very deeply touched our lives, precisely because his life was so deeply touched by our Lord and by our Blessed Mother. There are countless things we could say about St. Maximilian, I think we'll just touch on a couple of things here, and then we'll talk about him further in the conference later on. A couple points is that if you read the account of St. Maximilian's martyrdom, we've all heard the story, I'm sure. In fact, some of us were here last night for the Transitus, that rite where we remember his glorious passage into eternal life. St. Maximilian had a kind of he's dubbed a martyr of charity, because this was a very unusual martyrdom. It wasn't the typical kind of martyrdom where, you know, you have somebody come up to you with a sword or a gun, you know, telling you to renounce your faith, and where you have to make a split-second decision whether you're going to be faithful to the gospel or not. No, St. Maximilian's martyrdom was of a very different kind, because he was actually the one who first stepped forward. He was the one who came out of the safety and the security and stepped forward and said, I want to offer my life. I want to die, right? It's we all know the story. He was in the concentration camp of Auschwitz in 1941. One of the prisoners had escaped, and as was the custom among the SS officers that ran the camp, in order to dissuade people from imitating the example, every time somebody escaped from the camp, they would round up 10 prisoners and they would put them in the starvation bunker. Right, and the starvation bunker was designed in order to be a little antechamber of hell. In fact, all the torments of the starvation bunker were geared toward getting the people to die in a state of despair. How very horrible when you think about it, right? Everything is geared toward making them die in a state of sin, blaspheming God. And that's tragically what too often happened. The people would go in there, and then for however many days or weeks they survived, they would be given no food, no water, and they would basically, they would wither away. As one of the guards put it, you'll wither away like tulips. Okay, it's the heights or the depths, you might say, of man's inhumanity to man. And it was such a dreadful thing that you can imagine, you know, the prisoners as they were standing there in line waiting to find out who would be selected, who would be the 10 unfortunate souls to go into the starvation bunker. You could imagine them all cringing there, praying to God, saying, please, Lord, not me, not me. Let it be the guy standing next to me. But that wasn't the prayer of St. Maximilian, was it? He did the complete opposite. He actually stepped out of line. He stepped out forward, and he said, please let it be me. How very different is that prayer, not just from the prayer of those others in the camp, but even from our own so often, right? So often our prayer is geared toward escaping from suffering, asking, Lord, oh, please take this trial away from me. Please take this cross away from me. Please let me suffer less. Okay, that's not what St. Maximilian prayed. He wanted to be the one chosen. And when he wasn't the one chosen, what did he do? He stepped out of line and he volunteered. He volunteered to take the place of a man, a husband and father, who had been selected, and who, when he was selected, broke down weeping, crying, saying, no, my wife, my children. St. Maximilian had never even spoken to this man. He presumably didn't know the man's name. There wasn't any personal relationship between them. And yet, St. Maximilian offered his life for this stranger. Okay, and at first, it completely threw the guards in the camp. They didn't know what to make of it. It was unheard of for someone to actually volunteer to go into the starvation bunker. And yet, that's exactly what St. Maximilian did. He came forward and they said, what do you want? And it's amazing that he made it even that far, because ordinarily if someone stepped out of line, they would have just been shot on the spot. They would have been killed. Someone would have assumed that they were going to come forward and try to kill the SS officers, or they were going berserk. But he came forward and they asked him, what do you want? He said, I want to take the place of that man. Which one? The husband and father who was crying. And they looked at him incredulously and they said, who are you? Right. And do you remember the response? He said, I am a Catholic priest. Okay. This is a witness which we so desperately need, because it tells us the nature of the Catholic priesthood, right? You know, every Catholic priest is called to lay down his life in imitation of Christ, in union with Christ, who laid down his life so that we might live. Okay. And St. Maximilian, the martyr of charity, lived out his priestly vocation to the full by laying down his life voluntarily, freely, so that others might live. Okay, we remember the words of our blessed Lord in the Gospel. Nobody takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord. Okay, this wasn't an act of murder. It was a martyrdom by a man who freely offered himself to death. And when the SS guard heard that this was a Catholic priest, he immediately accepted. Why? Because the SS guards had a particular hatred for Catholic priests. Okay. And St. Maximilian offered his life in this sublime testimony of love for the sake of his fellow prisoner, Francis Gajenichik. The man who was spared, Francis Gajenichik, miraculously he wound up surviving to the end of war. He was liberated, he got out of the camp, and he died only a few years ago. In fact, he even visited our friary in New Bedford, Massachusetts, back in the 90s. I wasn't there at the time. This was a little before I entered the order. But apparently it was a beautiful visit, and he commented that the friars there reminded him of St. Maximilian's friars, whom he had met at Nepokalanov. At any rate, you can imagine how this man's life was changed, was transformed, you know, by the knowledge that someone had actually sacrificed his life so he could live. Right? This man lived another 50 years or so. Thanks to whom? Thanks to St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe. And of course, this wasn't the only man whose life was touched by St. Maximilian's glorious martyrdom, right? All the other people that were there in the starvation bunker were touched very, very deeply, because that place of despair, of darkness, where you usually could hear subhuman howling, people that were going mad because they were dying of thirst, it was turned into a little chapel. You know, the witnesses that were in the camp said you could hear the recitation of the Hail Mary, the Rosary, inside of the bunker. They said you could hear them singing hymns in honor of Our Lady. This place of despair, this antechamber of hell, was instead turned into a little chapel, into an antechamber of heaven. And instead of the people dying, cursing God and descending into the depths, they died blessing God, blessing our Blessed Mother, and consequently they rose up together with her into heaven. And it's very poignant that the date of St. Maximilian's own death was the vigil of the Assumption of Our Lady, right? He had said years before that he wished to be incinerated. He wished to be reduced to dust for love of God, for love of Our Lady. And that's exactly what happened, right? After his death, his body was put in a wooden casket and brought to the crematorium. Okay, When the word got back to the SS guard, to the commandant, who was the head of the camp, he said, well, at least there's one martyr without relics. Okay. Actually, coincidentally, he's not completely without relics. You might know the story of how sometime before that, before St. Maximilian was arrested, while they were doing the haircuts in the friary, one of the friars had an inspiration. He was the one doing the haircuts, and he gathered up the hair clippings from St. Maximilian, because everybody recognized that this man was a saint. And he gathered them together, and St. Maximilian perhaps figured out what the man was up to, so he said to him, why don't you take those hair clippings and put them in the furnace? And this friar very obediently took the hair clippings and put them in the furnace, and then St. Maximilian left. However, the furnace wasn't lit. And Sam actually never said anything about leaving them in there, and he didn't say he had to burn them, so the guy went back later and got the hair clippings. And those are the few first-class Rolex we have today of Saint Maximilian. Okay. A very glorious martyr. And by the way, another point, which most of you know already, is that St. Maximilian was in there for, I think it was close to 2 weeks, and he still hadn't died, you know, which is a miracle when you consider how frail his health was before he was even taken to the camp. St. Maximilian had tuberculosis, and one of his lungs had completely shut down already, and the other one was basically operating at half power. And it was a miracle that he was even alive at the time that he was arrested. Okay, and when they brought him to the camp, you know, he wasn't doing much better. In fact, the SS officers made him carry heavy burdens of wood on his shoulders day in and day out. Okay, think of what a privilege that was, too, right? To spend the last days of your life carrying wood on your shoulders. What does that make you think of, right? For St. Maximilian, it must have been a joy because he knew that it united him to our Blessed Lord. And when he was put in the, and throughout his time in the, cell phones off, please. Okay, throughout his time in the camp, he always took only a very small part of his own ration, which was meager to begin with, and he gave the rest to the other prisoners who were hungry. Okay, it's a miracle that this man was alive. Okay, and then they throw him into the starvation bunker, and they're getting no food, no water, and all the other prisoners are dying one by one. And finally, only St. Maximilian and I think three others are left alive. Okay, and they had to come in and give him an injection of carbolic acid in order to finish him off. One reason we know for this is, as I told you before, that promise that our Lord made to St. Francis, right? That no Franciscan would ever die of starvation. Okay, you put a Franciscan in a starvation bunker and see what happens. I'm not inviting you to put our friars in a starvation bunker, but okay. Okay, there's some things that you don't want to test for yourself. Okay, kids, don't try this at home, as I say. But at any rate, St. Maximilian is indeed a witness for us today. Pope John Paul II declared him the patron of our difficult century, meaning the 20th century. But I think that patronage could extend even to our own 21st century now, because what we're seeing now is we're reaping the fruits of all the horrors, all the evil that began in the 20th century. And we very much need the witness of St. Maximilian today. We need that witness of a total self-donation to God and to our Blessed Mother. In the little biography of St. Maximilian that's in our book, Colby, Saint of the Immaculata, there's a beautiful line which says that in the clash between St. Maximilian Kolbe and the SS guard that condemned him to death, that accepted his offering, it was a clash between the man who had rejected God and the man who had dared to love God totally. Okay, that's really the clash that we're living through today. We have a civilization today which has rejected God. Right, a civilization, if you can call it that anymore, which insists on man's complete independence, man's complete autonomy, as if we didn't need God anymore. And that clashes with what? It clashes with St. Maximilian's witness of not just not rejecting God, but of loving him totally, acknowledging his kingship over our mind, over our heart, giving him everything that we have, everything we do, everything we are, through the hands of our Blessed Mother. That's what we so desperately need today. And so let's pray to St. Maximilian that he will give us the grace to be a holy leaven, to be witnesses, to be apostles to this hedonistic and atheistic civilization, so that we can transform it into a civilization of love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.